Bienvenidos, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Sending in those questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Today, we got a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. We got some updates on the monolith. We got this Danny Hernandez cyberpunk news. We got cannabis. We got marijuana. We're all chilling back. But let's get it started. This is Freeform Radio. My name is Daniel. My other two hosts today is Andy.
It's all good. It's Andy, the coffee drinker. I just want to let the world know that I drink coffee, nothing else.
And we got Noel.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Feeling a little bit tired today, but I got my coffee too, so we'll see if we can change that around.
Hell yeah, we're getting the morning started with you guys, so hopefully everything is cool where you're at, and we'll jump into this. Andy, when we first jumped on, just to speak quickly, you mentioned there's a monolith update. What do you got for us, man?
So since the last time we spoke about it, you know, I know Danny was like, man, it's all bullshit, but the monolith, there's more popping up, more now with writing and inscriptions on there. I just want to talk, the one that popped up in California, that one got trashed by people who are down with Jesus, and they proclaimed Christ as superior to space aliens.
Oh, it wasn't so, BLM?
No, it wasn't. That one, it says, shining Christ is King, America first, destroyed the monolith in California.
Holy moly.
The one, like we talked about in Utah, got removed by some people, some like people who care about nature and wildlife. Like, this area can't maintain a massive amount of people.
The Seattle people that had that, I guess they try to make it to a wildlife autonomous zone. Right.
So I was reading something about that. And then the big one is, I think we talked about it, the people who they made this as like they were artists or whatever. They're trying to sell it, which I found kind of interesting. But I don't think to, you know, with so many popping up, I don't think that it's just this one group. So I don't know if the other ones are copycats. Some of them you could see they were like cheaply made. Some that are like pretty serious. So I don't know, man. Like, I've seen pictures of guys just loading them up into their pickups and shit, like in Albuquerque. And the United States ones are pretty interesting. But the ones in Europe are pretty weird. I thought it might have been like some marketing stunt. Like, I don't know if you saw, like, so just giving some quick hit updates on it because, yeah, it's, to me, it still intrigues me. I think the one they're just throwing that shit out, oh, this group of artists made it and we're selling it. I don't believe it. So I don't know if the other ones are like copycats or whatever, you know?
Yeah, no, I haven't really read anything else since we kind of talked about it. I think it kind of like got out of the rotation of the news stuff. But yeah, it's, I kind of assumed that it would come through, that it was some kind of publicity stunt somewhere, that if anything would have come out as an update, that that's what it would be.
No, yeah, I mean, some people are more into it than other, but this explanation that the artist made it, I don't know, I think it's kind of just some vague shit they throw out there hoping it goes away. But
well, Noel, you weren't here in the last week. Did you have any insight into this monolith?
Well, it just got me to think, it's been a while since something's come up that has like given you that reference that aliens aren't too far away from us, like crop circles and stuff like that. And so I was intrigued by it. I was like, oh wow, finally something new that's pushing us closer in that direction of meeting aliens or whatever. But I didn't believe it 100% right off the bat. I just thought, well, it's a chance, you know what I mean, with investigate, see what it is. More than likely it's probably some hoax, because the crop circles oftentimes were hoaxes. But it was just interesting, you know, something different that wasn't just pure doom and gloom that you see on the news.
You know, it's weird, you know, kind of not to go on a tangent here, but I had read something that Trump was ready to release like this alien document dossier or some shit. But that he's kind of that the aliens supposedly told him not to do it because it's not a good time to release this information, but that he's ready to like release all these government secrets before he walks out.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, that the Israeli, who was it?
Yeah, something with the government, right? Released
that, and then, like it broke the conspiracy people, like not the conspiracy people, the people who believe like in an alien disclosure, which was like huge during Obama. There was also a period where they were going to do something like that under Obama, but Obama, they kind of scared them into not doing it. Sounds like here, I mean, there's been many presidents who, I mean, what I've seen on, you know, on YouTube videos, you know, with that before they started fucking telling me what to think on the bottom with fact checking bullshit. But anyways, yeah, I read that too, that Trump kind of asked about it and they did give him some info, but I don't know, but yeah, it was an Israeli, like defense secretary type of person over there talking about, yeah, we've been in conversations with them for a long time. And they're like, don't fucking tell them about us because you guys are too dumb. You guys, you'll fuck it all up.
Right.
Because apparently humans are dumb. but yeah, I mean, the monolith shit, I sent you that video, Dan, from 2001 Space Odyssey or whatever with the monkeys. Did you see that shit?
I kind of glanced at it, but I stopped short, like, from when they started fucking in front of
it. Yeah, so like I told you, like, oh, we see this huge monolith, let's go up there and start rubbing it and shit. Like, and what are humans, the first one in Utah, oh look, there's something shiny, let's go fucking touch it. So that's why it got me intrigued. But yeah, man, it's the monolith. I'll keep an eye on it because this shit intrigues me. I like reading stuff about that. So, and the only thing, it's because it's popping up all over the world. So, and today where everything is fucking filmed, I'm pretty sure someone who wants likes and shares and retweets and want to be viral, I'm pretty sure someone will record a post putting the fucking thing up just to release to go see. I've been fucking doing it, but you haven't really seen that. You've seen just videos of the shit being taken down. You haven't seen no video being put up.
Right, right. Yeah, I haven't seen anything like that either.
And so, I mean, I'll keep an update on that. That's what I've been doing lately. And the other thing, and I re-upped my Hulu subscription for that Black Friday deal. I've been watching a lot of Family Guy. But they had a good documentary of you know, Takeshi 6ix9ine, his real name is Danny Hernandez. We know Danny's old. He probably doesn't know who it is. Do you know who that guy is, Noel?
Yeah. Takeshi 6ix9ine. Yeah, yeah, no, I know who he is, not because I want to, but yeah, it's just, it's out there and it's,
yeah, exactly,
it's hard to miss it.
Oh, this, like, is the guy that ratted out a bunch of people?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember him.
So, so this thing intrigued me. I mean, I knew of him, especially after he fucking snitched on everybody. But his rise from his humble beginnings, you know, as a kid to, like, dude, when he got arrested, he was only like 22 years old. And I'm like, he's so fucking young. He's just, he's a fucking kid. And the documentary starts from his mom and his brother and sister to where he started hanging out with people. And even he admits, like, my music is garbage, but my music videos are the shit. And then he was always attracted to people. Like, he wanted to be known, and he did outlandish shit, you know, peacocking to get attention on the internet. But early on, yeah, he got, what I didn't know was kind of shocking was he got arrested when he was 18 because they recorded him and some other guys assaulting a 13-year-old woman. I don't know if it was consensual, and they never really talk about it in the documentary, but he got arrested, he signed a plea deal, and he got probation. And that's where they were started, when he got into like beefs with other rappers and shit, they were calling him a pedophile. And I'm like, why? Like, wow. What? And they brought that up, and then his accounts kept getting taken down. He kept growing and growing, and people were shitting on him because he called him a SoundCloud rapper. But he was never on SoundCloud. That was the funny thing. So then he started getting his face tattoos and all that other shit. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. And then so he it kept going into how he had changed his persona, and he started getting involved with other rappers in New York because he's from New York, and he's from Mexican heritage. And
no mamas.
Yeah, and then they were talking about how can you keep saying the N-word when it's this Mexican guy, and then and all the people that he hung, they're like, I don't want to talk about that, which is kind of weird to me. But overall, it gives you a good story arc of how where he came from and how he ended up, and then he kind of changed his persona to like, yeah, I'm about fucking and just doing drugs, into he didn't have no backup, so he started doing all like this gangster rap shit, because some of his early music videos, man, they were like, it was fucked up, man. There was people like fucking doing drugs and fucking, like he was uploading videos then of him hanging out with like groupies and like in music videos, and like he starts pedigreeing them like Triple H, which was fucking weird.
Wow.
Like this was like 3-4 years ago. He's like, yeah, come over here, bitch. And he's just like doing pedigrees on them and giving them full Nelsons and throwing them into the bed.
Getting them stunners and shit.
Yeah, dude. And I'm like if I had a woman, I think the last thing I want to do is give her a pedigree, but okay.
At least not on video. That.
Yeah, and he recorded, dude, and like fucking kids, man. They record everything. And then he would like, he started hanging out with these gangbangers. And they're like, yeah, let's go jack this motherfucker, and we're going to record him, blah, blah, blah. Let's record us jacking this motherfucker. Like, what? Like, you're just stupid. Like, I never understood that mentality from younger people now. I mean,
now, were you a fan of
movie Spree, bro?
Yeah.
Were you a fan of this guy, Andy? Or did you just become aware of this documentary? No, he got into with all the, you know, snitching on everybody? Or were you a fan of his music?
No, I'm not a fan. What I'm a fan of is how famous he got so quickly just using the internet. And you knew right away, like, this motherfucker's like, I want to say fake, but he knew how to poke to get attention. And what I really got involved when kind of knew about him is there's this guy on YouTube channel I follow is Al Profit, and he exposes not exposes he talks about all the gangs. Like, he's from Detroit in the Midwest, Chicago, the mob stuff, all that shit, Chapo, the drug cartels. He started talking about the Tekashi 6ix9ine case and how he fucking snitched and how he got like 2 years, and like he started breaking down the case. That's when I'm like, damn, how does this motherfucker know everything? But that's when I'm like, damn. And like, he broke down how El Chapo got busted, and there's a Chicago connection to that, because the two main guys that were bringing in drugs into the United States were these Chicago fucking Mexican kids, because they know spoke English and Chapo used them, and they were importing all this fucking drugs, and they snitched. They had so much money, they didn't even know what to fucking do with it, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and they got busted. One of them turned into the Fed. He's like, look, man, like this shit. They were scared that Chapo was gonna kill him. So they flipped, and they did it all on their own, and he breaks down that case. And with their help, they were able to pinpoint how to get to El Chapo. But going back to the Tekashi. Danny Hernandez, his real name. Daniel. There you go, Danny. Tu tocayo.
It sounds like the Takara. What's the guy from Star Trek? The original, the gay guy? What? From the original. No, Star Trek. I'm sorry. Star Trek,
the Asian guy?
Yeah, that Asian guy.
Zulu?
What's his real name? I forget.
George Takei.
Takei. Yeah. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, so, like, check it out. I highly recommend it. It talks about how they got him. His driver, the feds, he had a driver that was an illegal in Paisa. And the feds went to his house. They took ICE took him in. And then they had him in jail for, like, fucking 3 months, dude, without any charges. It was, like, fucked up. And they told him, you want to get out of here? He goes, yeah. He's like, I need you to go back, work for Takashi and, like, just take your phone with you. They put it. He said they put an app on his phone that was recording 24/7.
How is that just gonna work though? Like you're gone for 3 months. As long as his
phone is charged, yeah.
No,
dude.
I mean you're gone for 3 months and you just come back. Like, oh yeah,
fucking... yeah, dude. He said that when he got out, they took him over there and he's like, yeah, come back. And then he just put his phone on the SUV and just recorded everything.
These guys are not that bright, man.
Nah, dude, they're young kids. They're idiots, bro. That's what I'm telling you. It's just like, I'm not trying to shit on them, but they got paid. He got famous, and it's a great dude. It's a great rag to riches story. I love that shit. It's an American dream. Kid grew up poor. He makes a shitload of money, gets famous, but like always, bad shit happens to people when you give people a shitload of money. When you give poor people a shitload of money, sometimes they don't know what to do and shit happens. But
when you have more money than education, that's what happens.
We see it constantly in professional sports, like these rags to riches. And then like 2-3 years after they're out, they're broke because they don't know what to do.
They didn't have Mr. Reynolds to teach them how to balance their checkbook.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Mr. Kelly,
what's taxes? I mean, how many times I've seen documentaries when they get their first check from the NFL, they're like, what's this FICA shit? What the fuck is this? They never worked a real job in their life and they see taxes being taken out. They're shocked. But yeah, I mean, check it out, guys. I highly recommend it for $1.99. Hulu has some decent products. So, you know, check it out. And we got to keep this train rolling. Danny, I see here you busted out your Wii U. It sounds like that's. Is that retro gaming now? I mean, I don't fucking know. And to play Zelda, that's even more old than fucking everybody here. So what's going on?
Yeah, I busted out the Wii U. I had gotten the game Cyberpunk, which I'll talk about in a second. But because of that, it left me kind of disingenuous with this newer stuff that I'm just like, you know what? I want to play something old, something that I haven't played in a long time. So I busted out the Wii U, connected it to my TV. And then, yeah, man, got to town with Zelda. And it was pretty cool, man. It kind of gave me a good nostalgia trip. Felt good to see it with updated graphics on a better TV. Because the last time I played it was probably on my CRT TV. So even though Wii U is not that old, I mean, really, it's the system before the Switch, so it's not terribly too old since Switch is the most current one that Nintendo has now, but it's still old enough where it is a little bit of a collector's thing now.
Why Zelda then? I mean, I know you loved Zelda, but I think you played about every Zelda game on every fucking console that ever existed.
Right. Yeah, the only one I haven't played is the new one on the Switch. But yeah, I kind of dig that franchise. So anytime a new Zelda comes out, I do try to play it, and I'll probably eventually play the Switch one. But it's just a cool story, man. It's got a little elf kid that just rises up through going through quests and getting powers to try to free the world from this overpowered Ganon trying to take it over. And then it's usually the Legend of Zelda, and Zelda's not even his name. His name's Link. Zelda is the princess of this town or this land, and that's who the game is named after. So it's kind of funny that it's not even named after Link.
It's been lost forever, man.
Right. It's kind of like the princess from Bowser and Mario. She's always getting into some shenanigans. But, yeah, it was kind of cool. I was playing... the name's eluding me now, but the one where you're going on your boat, Wind Waker. So that's the one I'm playing right now. Even though there's a couple other ones on Wii U, there's Twilight Princess, and there's also Breath of the Wild, the Wii U version versus the Switch version, which is kind of a downgraded version. But yeah, I started off with Wind Waker, and it's got this like cel shaded look to it, so it's really cool. Still holds up, man. The graphics look great on a new TV. I think it's because of the cel shaded. It kind of lends to the newer graphics, and it doesn't look dated like when you play one of these original PlayStation games, PlayStation 1 games.
Yeah, I went through a kick yesterday. I saw on my YouTube feed this Retro Station thing come up. It was the update. The video was like about 2 weeks old, and this guy was reviewing this new thing out of China. And right away, I started watching it, and it had Dreamcast games, it had Atari games, Nintendo games, Super Nintendo, Capcom, like all this shit. And I watched, it was like a 20-minute video. I watched everything. I'm like, I want to buy this fucking thing because it has 4K and HDMI and all this bullshit and the wireless controls. He gave it a pretty decent review, and it was like $80 US. So, and I was like, damn, man, should I buy this fucking thing?
It actually sounds pretty interesting what you're talking about, just because if you get an old Super Nintendo, let's say,
yeah,
it's difficult to connect even to your TV because it's composite cables, and a lot of newer TVs don't have that. A lot of newer TVs, it's HDMI or nothing. So you're kind of stuck with these older systems. If it doesn't have an HDMI out, then you can't hook them up. So these
emulation's got a lot better, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, on the Wii U itself that I have, it has some emulated stuff for some of the, like, the classic Nintendo 64 games, some of the GameCube games. So, yeah, emulation's gotten a lot better where you can play it without input lag. You know, the frames per second are really good, so it doesn't stutter like they used to. So, yeah, those hacker guys, they've really done a good job in stabilizing the stuff.
It had 64 games, PlayStation. I mean, they didn't say like Nintendo 64. It had a weird name, like 64 or something. And I was thinking, is that the game with? Does it include the graphics with the expansion pack was included? So, but I'll send you a link on it. The only thing I couldn't really find it. It was $80, but it was only available from this company in Europe. I think it was in England. And that was like the only thing, like, fuck, like, I wish this was like on eBay or something, but I'll send you a link. I was kind of like, I'm about 90% sure I'm going to fucking buy this thing. So, but I'd like your input on that.
Yeah, no, retro gaming, it fills a little niche. Now, it's not something that I would say I'm going to spend 2 months on kind of thing. I will probably eventually get a little past the fad of, you know, hey, man, this kind of tickles that old, you know, nostalgia thing in me. And I'll probably, like, you know, die off of it. But it's cool, man. It's cool to jump in for a quick minute. You know, every now and then I'll pop in the Super Nintendo, play some Super Punch-Out or play some of those games. And you play it for a quick minute. Feels good to get kind of like that old muscle memory going. So, you know, stuff like this, and like you mentioned, Andy, just watching that video kind of intrigues you into want to play in it. And I think for the majority, it's like that for the majority of people.
I don't know if I told you guys, I had the emulators for GameCube, Nintendo 64, PS2. I have a bunch of emulators, and I mean, the $80 sounds like a good deal if it's all set up for you, ready to go off the bat. But, yes. Otherwise, I mean, if you want to save $80, it doesn't take too much to set it up on a PC. So, I mean, it's just downloading it. It's just getting all the ROMs and shit that would probably take you more time.
The guy breaks down the specs. It's what I liked the most was obviously it looks sweet. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I know it's an emulator. And the interface that it had was pretty sweet, and the load time was sweet. It's all in one box. You know, I got the NES Mini. I got the Sega Mini, Super Nintendo, Play. I got them all. And I'm just like, every once in a while. And I even got the cheap fucking 1,000 games fucking Nintendo knockoff. I popped that in because that's what I want to use because it has some games. And I'm just like, my wife's like, oh, does this have Mega Man? Like, yeah, she even played it when I first got it because she used to play Mega Man with her brother. And she would play the shit out of that. And it's just like, I paid fucking $20 for it. Like, it was nothing. And the other ones, about like, if I want to play that nostalgia shit, like, yeah, I got to go through all this shit. If it's all in one box, I could leave it out and be done with it, you know? I even got, like, Nintendo. I bought a cartridge, like, 150 games in one cartridge for the Game Boy Color, and that was fucking pretty sweet too. I mean, it had all the Mario lands and shit. I'm like, sweet. I'm like, I'm done. I don't need to get any other Game Boy games. And Castlevania. I mean, it had them all. That's like the shit I grew up on.
Right.
What was the last game that you played on your emulators, Noel?
If I remember, it's kind of hard to remember, to be honest. But the one that stands out that I think you might like is Metroid Prime for GameCube in 4K.
Oh yeah, man. I got it for the Wii U, the GameCube version, and I popped it in for a quick second and I was just like, oh man, this looks kind of crappy, man. I'm like, I don't know if I can play this. And then the other bad part about it is the emulator that I have on the Wii U for it, it doesn't allow you to save for whatever reason. Shit. And I'm like, I'm not going to start playing this, get into it, really get hooked, and then not be able to save it and then have to start all over again. So I was just like, I don't know. I'm going to have to figure something else out if I want to play this. But wow, 4K up-res visuals on the PC.
Oh, man, it looks good. Runs smooth, 60 frames. And then, you can auto-save really easy just clicking like F1 or something like that. I forgot what hotkey it is. But yeah, I mean, if you ever want to set it up on PC, just let me know and I could give you all the links.
And I'm sure that game in particular, just being a first person view, would probably lend very good with a keyboard and a mouse. I don't know if you were playing it with a controller or not.
Yeah, no, I did play with keyboard and mouse. You can do controller. You can set up multiple controllers and configure it. But keyboard and mouse for that one, you're right, is going to be pretty clutch.
Right. But yeah, I got into some of that retro gaming. That's what I'm actually playing right now, just because, like I mentioned at the top, I was kind of disillusioned by Cyberpunk. I had pre-ordered this game just because I saw a few trailers when they first announced it, and it looked sweet, man. It looked like a very sweet, cool game, right up my alley. I really liked CD Projekt Red's previous game, The Witcher, Witcher 3 is the one that I played on PlayStation. And when they announced Cyberpunk, I was really excited, man. I was really excited for it. So as soon as pre-orders were available, I found which one had the best pre-order bonus, which in my opinion, it was Best Buy, because they gave you like a tin case for your game, like a special tin case for it.
The Steelbook Collector.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's not that great of a pre-order bonus, but whatever. That's the best one from all the other ones. The other ones were had like pins and some other stickers and shit and maps. And I'm like, nah, I'll get the tin. So I bought it, all excited, pre-order, just waiting. And then the delay, and then the delay, and then it's coming out, and then another delay. And I'm just like, Jesus, when's this shit coming out? Finally comes out. Best Buy ships it to me, because originally I was going to pick it up at the store, but with all this COVID stuff, I'm like, I'm going to change it to shipping. So I changed it to shipping, waited. The release date came, and that's the day they finally shipped it to me. But it was shipping out of California, so I didn't get it for like another 5 days. So while everybody else is into Cyberpunk and playing it and everything, I was kind of left on the outside just looking in. But luckily I was, just because from the response and from what people were saying, it was a mess. The game was really glitchy, not running well, a bunch of problems with it. So needless to say that when it finally did hit my doorsteps, I was just like, do I even open this thing? Do I even try it? With all the complaints that people are having, in particular the old generation games, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. If you're playing it on those, they're saying that it runs terrible. If you're running it on the newer stuff like the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation 5
or best yet, even on the PC, because that's where it's best of all of them, then you're might be okay. You might be okay playing it. But if you're playing it on any of the old generation systems, which that's what I have, that you're going to be sorely disappointed. So needless to say, I was just like, the hell with this thing. I'm not playing it. I just asked for a return label and shipped it right back to Best Buy.
Good call on that, man. Do you have a base PS4 or the Pro?
I have the Pro version, which they said runs marginally better. But I'm getting a little fancy with you, Andy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just like, you know, I don't want to play, like Metroid Prime. I don't want to play it in a subpar fashion. I want to play it if it's available in 4K and it's available with great graphics. That's the way I want to play it. I want to play it the way it was meant to, in the best possible, atmosphere. I want to be able to watch a 4K movie if I have that capability. I don't want to watch it in 720, which that's what's happening. On PlayStation 4, the visuals are 720p, dude. That is nuts. 720p, and it's not even 30 frames per second. 30 frames is like the bare bones minimum industry standards nowadays. And it's running 15 frames per second, dude. That's half. Some people were saying they were getting nauseous while they were playing this thing. That they were getting nauseous because it's skipping so many frames that it's judder stepping, and that people were, you know, like their eye strain was getting crazy and that they were getting nauseous. And
there were epileptic seizures that people were having. Like it was a big mess, man.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I could probably go on and on and on forever. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about it, Noel. What input do you have on it, and how did this Cyberpunk 2077 impact you?
So I was hyped up, man, just like you were. Probably not as much, though, because this game kind of caught me by surprise. I'm not super into games. I do love to play them, but I didn't necessarily have this on my radar for the last, 7 years. Which is, I guess, is how long they've been like hyping it up for.
Right.
So I understand, literally.
Yeah, I think since it was a seven or eight. Out, yeah, like a development cycle.
Like back in 2013 or 2014, I think, is when they started announcing it.
I'm sorry, real quick, who's the publisher? Don't say EA.
No, CD Projekt
Red. It's the first time CD Projekt Red published. They developed and published their own game. Previously, they had. Witcher was published by WB, but they were the developers. This is one of the first games where they invested their own money and they published their own game. So it's all on their shoulder.
First game off their bat. Yeah, it didn't have a track record of delays or unfinished games or nothing. They had a pretty decent track record with the other games.
Right.
They had really good reputation with the gaming community. And so a lot of people were hyped up, willing and ready to give their money. I think there were some 8 million pre-orders.
Right.
And there was millions on Steam, on PC, and on all consoles. So I got it on PC. I pre-ordered it. And when it came out, I played it right away, made my character and everything. What I noticed from the very beginning was how much more resource intensive it was. So my computer is not the greatest you can have, but it's definitely a step up from even the current gen consoles. So even a PS5 is pretty much, mine's a little bit faster than a PS5. And this is something I bought a couple years ago. So it's a 2018 model, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I figured, okay, you know, it's got to be able to run it good. I looked at the specs of what you need. It looks like I'm going to be able to run it. Low settings 4K or medium settings to high settings on 1440p, and that's what I wanted to do. I've been playing a lot of the newer games like the Resident Evils 2 and 3 remakes at 1440p, and it looks and runs great. 60 frames, that's the goal that I had in mind. 60 frames, the best I could do was 30 frames at 1440p. I had to tweak and tweak and tweak, and even then, walking around and doing shit, there was it didn't look optimized. It looked like a launch game, like a launch game in the modern day era. And unfortunately, it's becoming more common for publishers to release games unfinished and rely on patches and people's patience to make the game playable or at least optimized to have the experience they wanted you to have in the beginning. Unfortunately, I'm like, all right, all these reviews that are going on, all these complaints I'm seeing, I'm not having as many bugs as other people. Definitely a lot of people have like game crashing bugs. I didn't have it crash on me or anything like that. It's just the frame rate wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And then I come to find out that all the specs they gave out was with 30 frames in mind. They weren't trying to set out specs to see if you can get 60 frames. And I'm like, shit, dude. So I have to make compromises ultimately, you know, and I have it finally set up to 30 frames, but I'm going to be honestly waiting a couple months. I heard there's going to be an update in January and another update in February that's going to give out just updates for console and PC to enhance the experience. So I'm going to be waiting until the new year, January, to keep playing. I have like 9 hours in, and the story is good. See, that's the freaking crazy thing is, yeah, the story is good, and it's going to be awesome once it's ready to play. It's just not ready.
Exactly. That's what I keep hearing, is that the story, the immersion, all the other stuff surrounding it is great. It's just the way it plays like shit. Mm. And it looks like shit. And literally, man, when you...
It does.
When you see some videos, dude, when you see some videos on YouTube, at first, I, you know, honestly, when I saw some of the videos, I'm like, this is the kind of shit that Andy clicks on, because it's like funny, glitchy stuff. And I'm like, somebody made this. Somebody made this to make it funnier. And then when I did a little more digging and digging, no, those were legit videos, man. Legit videos of crappy gameplay on PlayStation 4s and Xboxes. Yeah, and I'm just like, there's no way they released this game in this state. It looked terrible, dude. Terrible. Bad.
Yeah, and Project Red lost $1 billion, bro.
Yeah, the investors. But it's funny because they lost $1 billion, but they stated that with all the pre-orders, they recouped all the money they invested in the game. So they already churned a profit just with the pre-orders. But now there's the wave of people returning the game, and it's created kind of a muddy mess too. So I don't know if you're going to try to get a refund or just wait for these updates.
Well, Steam allows you to refund if you play less than 2 hours, okay, and return it within a week. It's well past that point. So I'm going to be stuck with it, but I don't mind it. The way I look at it, for me, for PC specifically, it's like I'm getting early access to it. Right. So I paid full price, unfortunately, but I'm getting early access. The patches will come out. I'll get to play it sooner than everybody else. Console, it looks like they're going to have to wait, you know, maybe until after February to finally get a decent enough release, if it even comes out for PlayStation again. They took it off the store.
Right. Yeah, this is one of the first times on PlayStation that a game was delisted. Now, other games have been delisted. I think it was a game that even you played, Noel. Wasn't that Batman Arkham Asylum or the Arkham City? The newest, the last one that they released, that was delisted from the Epic Store. So it happens where games get delisted just because they run like crap and they don't want people to buy them and then have to deal with trying to return it back to them.
Yeah, I've never gone to Epic, but I know what you're talking about. There's games like that. Sometimes they're unfortunately taken down. Steam had a few games like that. But yeah, man, that's Cyberpunk 2077. We'll see in a couple months. Hopefully they get their shit together. I really had high hopes, man. I was actually going to invest in the company, and I'm glad I didn't. Their stock went from an all-time high of $31 to right now, I think it's hovering around $18, $19 last time I checked. So
it drops more, man.
Yeah.
If they have a decent track record, it's just a blunder. But, I mean, who knows what their next – if they're going to be around, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if it does well, they want to have an online multiplayer, and so I'm hoping if it drops down like 17, I think it'll be worth put a little bit. You know, you might double up your money in the long run. But yeah, that's 2077. Another thing I wanted to update you guys on is this Great Conjunction event. I don't know if you heard about it. It's happening Monday, tomorrow, which would be December 21st. So it'll be a little bit later when you guys finally hear it. Our readers, our listeners, that is. But yeah, Jupiter and Saturn is going to be aligning, and it's like the first time it's happened and or this close, at least this close to Jupiter and Saturn. And not only our lifetime, but the lifetime of like seven generations, 400 years. Like, I don't know how many generations that would be, more than seven for sure.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that long. Wow. Cool.
Yeah. According to this article, space.com, it says Jupiter and Saturn will align in the night sky December 21st. In an event astronomers call the Great Conjunction, also referred to as the Christmas Star, marking the planet's closest encounter in nearly 400 years.
Yeah, so, the Jesus Star, man.
I've been having a few friends send out like messages about this and trying to get my radar on it, which is interesting. If you believe in spirituality and stuff like that, outside of religion, just like general, you know, how the universe works and how it affects people and energies and whatnot, chakras and all that stuff. This event is going to be pretty special. And supposedly on the 21st, when this event happens, is a time for, I guess, healing and for positive energy to enter you and positive things to attract into your life. And kind of a leaving of a dark time and entering a good time. Supposedly the last time this happened, we left the Dark Ages and we entered the Renaissance period. We left behind the plagues and we entered a new time of innovation and creativity. So let's see if that repeats. I'm really hoping it does.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know all this stuff about it. I was aware that it was going to happen and I was actually looking forward to watching it on Monday. I was hoping that the skies would be clear enough, because they say with some binoculars, even like some generic binoculars, that you can see the rings on Saturn. And I saw some pictures, because you could see it now. Even Monday is when they're going to be the closest together that they're going to be in our lifetime, and what you mentioned, seven lifetimes or whatever. So you can see them now. You could see it today, even if you look outside. Right, they say it's best to look at it right at sunfall, or right before the sun is about to fall off. That's the best time to kind of see it, from an article I had read previously. But I guess on Monday it's going to be the closest they've ever been to each other, and then after that they're going to start going apart again.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I always get into this whole astrology stuff. Like, it's just, it like blows my mind every time I go outside and see the stars on a nice clear night. I think tomorrow in Chicago it's going to be a little cloudy, so we'll hopefully get a chance to see it. You know, if the clouds give us a little bit of luck and move out of the way just long enough for us to see this unique event. But yeah, that's one thing I just wanted to get you guys aware of. And another thing that's kind of happened new in my life, at least, I got this machine that allows for oil infusion for cannabis. So it allows you to grab, you know, dry herb and combine it with different kinds of oils that you might use for cooking, baking, things like that. And so, yeah, I've made olive oil and coconut oil infusion so far. It's been great, man. It's been really good.
So I guess I'm not really understanding. What is this? Is this some kind of machine that squeezes a seed and then makes oil out of it?
No. What it does is it uses your already dry herb. So, you know, you have some marijuana, you'll have it ground up a little bit, not finely ground, but just kind of, you know, roughly, you know, what is it called? Just roughly coarsely grounded. And you're going to fill this little container in the device with I don't want to describe all the different parts and all the processes, but basically what it does is decarbs your weed, which activates the properties that you want, the THC, the psychoactive CBD, I mean the psychoactive THC and the CBD. And once it activates all this, you can finally infuse the oil, and that's when you put in the actual, you know, the oil you're going to use, olive oil or coconut oil, whatever kind of oil you want. It infuses it by kind of swishing it around, making it mix, and it does it at certain temperatures. So, and it takes a certain amount of time. So for me, it took a total of 3.5 hours roughly to infuse this oil. And I've done it about 3 or 4 times. And every time it's gotten better and better, I'm getting better with it. I've made olive oil, like I said, and coconut oil, which I highly recommend coconut oil if you're going to go for this kind of infusion shit.
Oh, yeah. I know for a while, Alana was really into coconut oil. She was using it for like brushing her teeth, using it in her hair for her skin. So, yeah, and she even cooked with it a few times.
Yeah, it's definitely versatile. You know, olive oil is going to be a little bit more limited in use. That's what the first thing I made. Mm-hmm. And I found it just really difficult to work with because I'm not big on olive oil for a lot of foods, unless I'm making like fried food or something, like maybe fried potatoes or something like that. Or eggs, things like that. But I don't really see infusing cannabis with eggs as the best way to take cannabis infusions, you know. So
you try lard, bro, with food. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Lard with food?
Yeah.
Yeah, some frijoles, man. Bam.
The motherfuckers be shiny. You see your face in those frijoles when they're done.
I don't know, man.
Dude, it's I want to make it to eat them all the time, but it's the best. Trust me.
Now, in terms of flavor, I don't deny that, man. It's not that healthy to be eating lard on the Reggie. No, man. Yeah.
Our parents grew up on that shit. It's cool.
Yeah. Right. We have the genetics to withstand it, I guess. But that's pretty much it, man. I recommend coconut oil, especially the extra virgin organic coconut oil. And you can make a lot of things with it.
Yeah.
For cooking, because the thing is, you could put it in tea. You could put it in coffee. You could put it in the gummy bears. You could put it in any cookies, brownies, anything you want, dude. Like, it's so much more versatile. Waffles, pancakes. I can go on, bro, and on. Coconut oil is the way to go. Plus, the makeup of it, it's just like Daniel said, it's healthy. You can consume it, put it in your hair, your nails. It's very versatile. So I recommend coconut oil infusions for anybody looking to kind of just expand their consumption of it. That way you don't have to smoke it. It's a little cleaner to do it this way.
Sweet.
But so that's the update for the week, guys. Let's get into the article for the week. All right, guys, so the article for the week here, kind of keeping in line with what we just talked about with cannabis, Mexico, it looks like, has some news here. Mexico Senate votes in landslide to legalize world's largest cannabis market. This was published from mindunleashed.com. There are a few other locations you can find this information, so it's pretty credible information. It's not just solely on this website. But just a quick summary of what's going on here. From what most people understand, Mexico has had a close relationship with cannabis for a vast amount of time. Cannabis is actually known to have been originated as well as in South America, as well as in Asia. So Mexico is no novice to, you know, marijuana dealings, and for the longest time, it's been illegal. The cartels have capitalized on that, making more money by selling it at a premium price and exporting a lot of their product throughout the world. And so it looks like here, just days prior to Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., Mexico's Senate approved a bill that would put an end to prohibition measures in a landslide vote of 82-18 with 7 abstentions. I guess that's people that didn't vote. Lawmakers in the ruling Morena party have been working hard to seal the approval of the landmark cannabis legalization bill before the current congressional session draws to a close in this month of December. Morena, along with its allies, holds majorities in both chambers of Congress. So that's kind of good. It looks like they're both trying to improve just kind of living conditions in Mexico. So they're seeing this as an option to to go forward, which honestly, it shocked me. I didn't think they were ever going to make it legal, especially because the cartel holds so much power in Mexico. But it looks like it's going to hopefully go through. Any thoughts on this, you guys?
Yeah, I think first, I think, like you said, the drug cartels are going to get hit hard with this if they end up going forward and this all ends up changing. They said that the violence in the cartels took up to 10,000 lives last year. So that's a lot, man. That's a lot of people to be passing away from drug-related deaths. I think this will hugely impact that drug trade and make it to where if it's legal, then they're not going to be killing people to try to import it or smuggle it in or do whatever they got to do to try to make their money. So I think this is going to impact them greatly.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're trying to do is control. It's just like here in the United States, a lot of states have legalized weed, and then the person who sells it, the government does a lot of, has a lot of control of it and what you can sell and, you know, with taxes. If you read down the article, it goes, under the proposed measures, Mexico would place strict controls on ownership in the supply chain used for domestic production and international commerce of cannabis. So the thing there is the supply chain. That means it's like who gets to fucking sell it and how to ship it and stuff. That's interesting. The trade surrounding the industry would also have to comply with various forms of financial source verification and ensuring that the business doesn't fall into the hands of a criminal syndicate, writes Forbes. So right away, it's about who controls what and who controls how the shit goes out, and then who owns it. So, I mean, because they don't want, I guess, the cartels to own the business that controls everything, because they know right away if they do, there's going to be a bunch of shit going down, and they're probably going to impose heavy taxes too, like here, I mean, to the government gets their cut, because, I mean, the current president, I mean, he's already had some, he has a lot of conservative views. He just to give you a background, he opposes the lockdowns, he opposes masks. That's not really being talked about here, but down there, because in Jalisco they passed mask mandates and he shitted on that. He says that's a bad idea. But it's already been rumors that he was taking money from the cartels. So, I mean, I think it broke like when he got elected that he got some some briefcases full of money. But it's to me, it's a good step. I think the cartels are always going to be a part of Mexico. Unfortunately, it is what it is. But it's you're giving one less thing for them to fuck up. But they're still big in like meth and all this other shit, trafficking and kidnapping, and you know that it's just like a fucking an early step to trying to control that. But I think marijuana, I believe it is their number one. So it's going to be interesting seeing how this evolves, because I mean, you know, our parents are from Mexico, we're Mexican. It's just, we all know the corruption down there. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that is going to be handled.
Oh, without a doubt, man, this is going to trickle over the whole world. I'm hoping that United States follows suit. Another bit of information here. It looks like under the bill, adults over 18 will be allowed to cultivate and possess up to 28 grams of cannabis for personal use. Possession up to 200 grams would be decriminalized. People can grow up to 20 plants, provided their annual yield isn't more than 480. Medical patients would be able to grow over 20 plants if needed. Public consumption, that means you can consume it anywhere in front of a freaking cop, would be allowed in all spaces besides those marked as 100% smoke free. And then they would also generate sales and taxes, with 12% tax being put on cannabis sales, going with the revenue going towards drug abuse programs. So, bro, this is a lot of good language. I'm hoping it goes through. If this actually does go through and everything is you know, met the way it's said, you know, like it meets the requirements, I'm hoping the U.S. follows suit. Canada already is there. I mean, come on, we can't be the only country in North America not doing it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I think what's weird too is that to me, it's quite a bit. 28 grams of cannabis for personal use on your personal self.
That's 1 ounce.
Right, because one dime bag is roughly about a gram. So this would be about, well, I don't know. I'm not a big smoker, but from what I
Googled. This metric system, shit.
What I Googled, it said the average dime bag that makes one or two joints worth is about a gram. So that's where I got 28 grams. It would be about 28 dime bags. But maybe you're right. Maybe it's only half a gram. I really don't know. I'm not in that buying trade.
Unless they changed it. A dub, which would be $20, was 1 gram. And if you buy an eighth, that would generally have a street value of about $50 to $60. Although it's kind of dropped in price since legalizations happened throughout the U.S. But yeah. I mean, I'm sure things have changed, but that's what it was back in the day when I remember having to go out there and buy stuff.
It's like everything. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I just had to Google it just because I didn't know for this article. Man, but yeah, in here, it went nuts, man. This article went kind of crazy, and it talks about a dub. I'm like, what the hell is a dub? I'm like, are they talking about like that dubstep shit, man? I'm like, damn, what is all this shit? And it just shows you how out of it I've been since the scene.
You were in it when it was called pot, right?
Right.
Grass. It is, you know, it's good for individual. I mean, to me, I'm a big proponent here in the United States for state rights. Some states want it, some don't, whatever, man. If that state chooses to do it, I'm good for it. But the federal government has a different view on marijuana, which I don't foresee it ever being changed unless something radical happens. But because, you know, marijuana in federal level is still illegal, but yet the states, you could go, like in Illinois, you go, there's pot dispensaries, you go buy it, and it shouldn't be, you know, they tax you to death on it, but you could buy it. But so, I mean, and going to, it's just in Mexico, you're controlling the person who controls that industry, I want to call it, is... I think it's going to just be it's already ripe with corruption. It's just going to be interesting to see how this shit is handled. Are they going to look the other way and pressure like local businesses, and how the cartels, you know, they rule with an iron grip down there, how they're going to respond when like fucking stores start popping up, and they're going to start fucking with them and shit, you know, and because now they're going to have some real competition, like the worldwide economy. So it's going to be that's what I wanted to see, the effects of that, because, I mean, the cartels are just notoriously violent. I mean, this ain't going to come in like, we want to buy you out. No, they're going to fucking kill you and torture fucking business and then torture you and then kill you, you know. So that's what I want to see, and how they're going to handle that in certain parts of like in northern Mexico, like, you know, down south, like. You know, it's different with the big cities and the tourist spots. It's just a different Mexico's like two parts, north and south. The northern is like all the fucking farmland shit, and where our parents came from, down south, it's bigger cities, more metropolis areas, not as rural. So that's what I want to see, how they're going to handle that shit.
Yeah, it's a good question, man. Well, we'll have to wait and see, but one thing for sure is that their business is going to be hit so much, it's probably going to make them start thinking about other avenues of income. So instead of them putting so much focus on marijuana, they might put focus on their other stuff. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that affects it too.
Yeah, I think they might, like you said, Noel, have to, you know, maybe child trafficking and sex trafficking will take an increase because they're going to be losing money from, you know, the drug trade now. So I don't know.
I mean, yeah, marijuana is the big one, but you know, they do meth and meth's the other big one, and that's where they're big too, marijuana and meth, from what I recall. But it's just It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's just with the fucking corruption is there's not a lot of high hope. And I should say there's not hope. It's a great start. It's just how it's like always, how everything is enforced and how they react to what fucking happens out in the street and out in the public. Because like here in Chicago with the dispensaries, you know, to me, it looked at like another form of control. We only want this many amount of dispensaries in the city of Chicago. We're going to have a fucking lottery. To me, that means something's fucking fixed and like these big companies are going to come in, make sure they get their fucking tickets to have their dispensaries while the mom and pops are fucked because they don't know the right person or they don't know how to bribe the right person.
Well, that's why I want like a blanket legalization that allows for cultivation so people can just grow their own thing. I know that's not the ideal thing for the government or the ideal thing for, you know, corrupt individuals that want to profit.
Yeah, you need that tax money.
Mm-hmm. But it's the best thing for the people, that's for sure. One of the worries that I have is that with legalization comes regulation, and mm-hmm. with regulation, you know, I don't know what they're gonna necessarily do to it, right? And that's what worries me is I don't want to start seeing some fucking antibiotics and pesticides and steroids being put in that.
There's gonna be organic fucking weed and then processed to the bone shit like at the dollar store weed.
Like that GMO weed.
China and shit, yeah.
Well, it's funny, man. When I was doing a little research for this article, I did find some stuff where they said that Mexico is actually a big proponent of medical stuff, innovations. And that with the legalization of marijuana, they think that cures and other remedies for other stuff happening in the world will become more and more prominent because Mexico does have a good foothold in stuff like that. So you might see the cure to arthritis or you know, heart disease or whatever, you know, and it might come out of this.
There's a bunch of articles that I want to share with you guys about the benefits of cannabis. Unfortunately, we don't have time today to do that, but in the future, I promise our viewers, we're going to talk about it. There's a lot of benefits being discovered now that research is allowed more easily, whereas back, you know, 10 years ago, it was a little more difficult to research anything on marijuana because it was illegal. So it wasn't, you know, allowed for scientists to cultivate and, you know, experiment on it. Now with research being done left and right, scientists are finding out more and more of the benefits of marijuana, the protection for the brain, protection against aging, skin, health, cancer, it kills cancer. It protects against epilepsy. There's a lot of benefits that are being found, and this is only the beginning. So you're right, Daniel. I'm really excited to see, you know, what they find and what else we can use it for. Any closing comments, guys?
I mean, the only drug I need is caffeine.
Jesus said to use its land and everything in it. So, hey, let's do it, man.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Well, that wraps things up for today, guys. I want to thank you so much for joining us on Freeform Network. If you're not already, please follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're on Twitter as well, FFR Podcast. And if you have any questions or suggestions for us, we really do want you guys to, you know, send that out, and we'll do our best to, you know, listen to it and, you know, change things up if necessary. To send it at ffnquestions@gmail.com. And for Freeform Radio, my name is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. It's Sunday. Got to watch some Bears, man. Hopefully they do good today. They've been on a somewhat little run, so we'll see.
And we got Andy.
It's all good. And real quick, I want to thank you guys for being patient with us on our YouTube channel. We've had some issues with the last couple episodes not being uploaded, but our IT expert Danny kind of figured it out. So we should be back regularly on YouTube. So thanks, everybody.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel, for figuring that out. And for everybody, we wish you a great night and a beautiful tomorrow.
Dad.